What has to happen for us to be back here in a couple of days? We have to have, of course, Kings win. Then we have to have Pelican win first game?
No matter what, we're on the road. Because the Lakers finished ahead of us also. That's the 7-8.
Oh, yeah. See, no matter what. Tiebreaker. Yeah.
No matter what, we're on the road. Yeah.
So. All right. I was going to say, if we were back here, you know, we'd do something about your seating because I know you got a little toasty over there.
Yeah, that sun was baking me, and I got on navy pants and everything. I had the long sleeve shirt on, and finally we got a little shade over here, but we only got two blocks left.
Yeah, so I apologize. But, you know, all year long it seemed like, oh, the Kings are ahead of the Lakers and they're ahead of the Warriors. And I don't know, they got leapfrogged at the last minute. But that's one of the things about the end of the season that sucks so much.
Yeah, and like you said, we were ahead of them all season long. We were laughing,
pointing, beating them head to head, better record.
You know, looking in the rearview mirror at them. And then the last week, they just all of a sudden overtook us, you know. Yeah. And so it's a little frustrating, man, that we're in this position. Not only having a need to win one, but we got to win two games to make the
I know. But we still want the Pelicans to win tonight, right? Pelicans win, then we get the Lakers.
Yes. We don't want to see the Pelicans, right? Like, we've seen that enough. Five times.
Yeah. You know, tough to beat a team.
Six times.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's ever happened. You know, regular season and playing six times facing the same team. But
so if this game tonight comes down to one thing, what would you say it is?
Kings got to make shots. That's it. You know, if we've seen the Kings offense struggle at the most inopportune times. So they need to stay consistent with their shooting, their 3-point shooting. You know, if they shoot, I'll give you a number, Whitey. I'll say 42%. Nah, give me 41.5%. That's the over-under.
Okay.
If the Kings make better than 40% on the threes, they will win tonight.
Do you think they'll end up shooting a lot of threes?
Yes, because I think that's what the Warriors are going to give up.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to protect the paint. They're trying to stop De'Aaron Fox from getting downhill. I think the level of disrespect that the Warriors have for the Kings shooting outside of Keegan Murray, I don't know if they believe in Keon Ellis. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they are buying into, like, they'd rather have De'Aaron Fox shoot threes instead of attack the paint and get into the paint. And so they got to be able to knock it. And we know they don't respect Harrison Barnes. We know. We saw it last game when HB dropped 39. So we have to take advantage of those 3-point opportunities that are going to be available to
us. Those, as you always call them, the spray threes.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Don't get me started on spray threes. But no, seriously, tonight. Like, let's get some spray threes going. We've talked about it. You know, your percentage is better off catch and shoot than if you have to put it on the deck. Same thing with De'Aaron Fox. I don't want to see Foxy try to get into his bag and take a three off the dribble. I'd rather him take the catch and shoot. And to get the catch and shoot, you got to drive to the basket, spray it out, move the ball around.
Yeah, a couple of things I think to look for, as all Kings fans know from their standpoint. A couple of things, if they go the Kings way early, the Warriors will have to adjust, and that's a good sign. One is Domas against Trayce Jackson-Davis. If Domas is having his way early, then the Warriors will have to make an adjustment. Maybe that's Looney, and maybe it works out. But you want them to be having to say, all right, timeout, we'll go to plan B.
Right.
Another thing is, to your point, if the Kings are bombs away making a lot of threes, the Warriors are going to have to decide, all right, do we continue to let them do that and hope they start missing? We're going to have to get out on them or adjust our defense. The Kings have to dictate those things tonight.
Yes, they do. And, you know, I wonder, are you trying to play the Warriors style, fast pace, up and down? I think so. Like, we've talked at times about the Kings and their offense not getting easy baskets. They got to force turnovers tonight too, right?
It
not only helps you out, but it hurts the Warriors, right?
Yeah, and you should have an opportunity to do that, given how much they turn the ball over and how you're, I think, in the upper half of the league of forcing turnovers.
Yes, and, you know, the Warriors have always been a sloppy team, even at their best.
Oh, yeah.
At their height, because of the style they play. They play that quick style.
Because they're so arrogant, right?
Arrogant, right, exactly. No, but you know how it is. Their style is, it's a lot of cutting and movement and things like that. And that leads at times to miscommunication. And so you have to be able to take advantage of the turnovers out there tonight.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I'm really interested to see tonight. As you said, we play similar styles. Basically, Mike Brown took the Warriors offense and brought it here. And it's not exactly the same. There's some tweaks. but it's the same. And these teams are playing the same defensive systems. So they're so similar. One of the things that Draymond said a couple days ago is, oh, you know, no surprises here. But I think both coaches, they're going to have something up their sleeves, right? Both coaches right. are going to try to do something that the other team doesn't anticipate. I'm not sure what they are, but I'm anxious to find out what they are.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Kings try to junk it up defensively, too. And you know, like we had Gary St. Jean on yesterday, you got to throw many different looks. You can't just leave a guy on an island guarding Steph Curry. But I really do think Steph Curry is the key to this Warriors team, especially, you know, when we saw him early. Like, Steph had to work so hard and be so great for this Warriors team to win. And I still think at this level, I'm not buying in on Draymond. I'm not buying in on Kuminga, especially because he's banged up right now. I'm not buying in on Klay Thompson. And I think those guys, sure, they can get their points. But the guy that can beat you single-handedly, and we saw it in Game 7, is Steph Curry. So if you somehow limit him to a 30-point or under game, a very inefficient game where he shoots 9 of 26 or something like that, I think you have a shot tonight.
Who's the smallest team in the NBA? A hint, they're playing in this game tonight.
Smallest team?
It's the Warriors.
Oh, okay.
Here's what where I'm going. You're not going to like this. Maybe. It's a suggestion. It's a question. It's a question. Is tonight the night to bust out the double bigs for the Kings?
Why are you looking away? Why are you? Because
I know you hated that.
I'm about to throw a towel
from the first day it came up. You know, Alex Lynn talking about a media day, and Drake's like, no. And to your credit, they haven't touched it.
How do we guard them if we go double?
Well, it depends who's on the floor.
Right. How do we guard them? If they go Draymond at the five, Wiggins and Kuminga, and then Steph and Klay.
Obviously, if they go small, it makes it hard to do that. But
right. And I don't think, and I keep talking about our offense. If we had a big that could shoot the ball, a la Brook Lopez or something like that, I'd be okay with that. But because Alex Lynn and Domas aren't necessarily three-point shooters, to me that clogs up the lane even more. I don't like that. You know,
Domas on Trayce Jackson-Davis, and couldn't Alex Lynn guard Draymond? And if Draymond wants to try to score, it's like, great, right?
No, here's why. The Warriors would put him in so many actions and make Alex Lynn defend. Mm-hmm. It's a recipe for disaster, as far as I'm concerned.
All right, we'll put that down on the list, but I'm still putting it on my list. I'm putting it on the back page.
All right,
because you know tonight it's you got to throw it all out there. If it doesn't go well for you tonight, you're done.
Right.
So
you got to try everything. Like this is going to be a game of adjustments. If Mike Brown can't just stick to the old game plan. We talk about the offense, and this is something I wanted to ask Sam Emick about, and I didn't have the chance to, but are you surprised that we haven't seen the diversity of the Kings offense? It seems to be sort of stagnant, like the same old thing. And I think tonight you got to switch things up a little bit, you know? So the guys are going to have to maybe get out their comfort zone. Maybe Keegan has to be more of a playmaker out here. Mm-hmm. Maybe Davion or somebody else has to generate some easy buckets for guys out there.
To my eyes, since they shot, where did they shoot the 58 threes?
OKC.
OKC. Since they came back from that trip, I've seen them work in a few wrinkles, pin downs. I don't know if you have, just a few things. And I think they've tried to become a little less reliant on the three. But the bottom line is, Mike Brown still says, if you're open, take it. We don't care.
Right.
If you're open, take it. And the Warriors are going to give you that tonight. So,
yeah. And the thing I hate about that, Whitey, is sometimes you just have off nights. And to leave it to that,
leave
it to chance that, you know, you're going to be hitting tonight. Like, I've seen too many times in the NBA a game seven or a must-win situation where a team just is tight and they just don't make the shots that they normally make.
We're coming right back to wrap things up here on a play-in game night. Get ready for the Kings and the Warriors. Drive, guys, on Sacktown Sports. We've been talking a lot about NBA awards last couple of days, and voters are voting now. Here's something. I know you don't love this site, but this is something that Sam Amick was talking about when he was leaving today. Dante DiVincenzo, who only missed a single game this season, is not eligible for the Most Improved Player Award because he fell 9 seconds short of the required playing time.
Players
need to have participated in at least 65 games for a minimum of 20 minutes each to qualify for postseason awards. So he played in enough games, but not enough minutes. 9 seconds short. So he's not
so
eligible.
Most improved is one of the threshold ones, but six man isn't.
That is apparently true. Sorry. And I know there's also been some question as to how Jonathan Kuminga, whether he qualifies for that as well.
That's sweet. I get it. The NBA is trying to have this threshold and everything, but 9 seconds to hold a guy in certain games, you may not get minutes that much, you know? And
It
shouldn't, let's say you play 18 minutes. All of a sudden, that game doesn't count? It doesn't make sense to me.
I don't know that the NBA accomplished anything with that. But, you saw it yesterday. NBA attendance up this year. There was, 12 teams that sold out?
Yeah.
Including
our Sacramento
Kings. And I think the attendance for November was the best ever, which would suggest the play-in work. So, you think all the goofy stuff the league's doing is working? Is that what these attendance numbers mean?
Nah, not at all. Not at all. I don't think this is all. I think the parity in the NBA has been what has driven this excitement out there. And so I think the parity teams, being in it. That's me right here. How you doing?
Hi.
So, yeah, I think it's the parity. As Scott Mars sits down with us as he gets ready for game night coming up. What's up, Scott? You feeling good? Nate.
Get Scott on.
We got Scott Morris here, big fat.
Yeah.
Nate out here hobnobbing, kissing babies and everything.
That's my fellow Aggie, too, right there, just leaving me high and dry.
Oh, my gosh. What's up, Scott? All right, how you feeling, man?
I'm feeling good about today, Drapes. I'm like you. I'm Mr. Positive. I listen to Dave in the morning, and I'm just trying to get all of that out of my system. You're making me feel good.
Right.
I want you to go tonight.
Go. We're ready to go.
Yeah.
Hopefully our guys are ready to go tonight. And
we got to bring the energy tonight, we will, of course.
We will. I mean, I'm just happy we have meaningful basketball,
Yeah.
Think about how far this franchise has come, and the goals are still able to be obtained out here, Scott.
No doubt about it. And certainly Kevin and I, we've lived it. I mean, when you were talking to Gary St. Jean, for example, and you brought up 1996, well, I was in the building for 1996.
Yeah, sure. You were there for that.
And I remember the 45-minute standing ovation at Arco. It's still the greatest moment that I've experienced. I was there at Game 4 down at the Staples Center at the time when Robert Horry hit the three-pointer, and I'm sitting next baseline to Dustin Hoffman, who's high-fiving his kid across the way from me. So I've lived this. I've lived the 16 years of playoff drought, and now I'm ready to celebrate again. We're in a great spot right now.
Don't you think, Scott, you compare this right now, the scene before us and behind you, compared to a year ago. And, last year was a celebration even before Game 1. And I think, I said earlier, both fan bases are a little not sure about this whole play-in thing.
No doubt. I think it's subdued a little bit. Yeah. Last year, it was the party, the excitement.
Right.
We're going to get those Warriors. And remember, in that series, we were up 2-0 in that series, too, and we were feeling good about life, right?
Uh-huh.
And then Darren, of course, with the hand and everything else, and we all know all about it.
Here's somebody who's feeling good right here.
Yes, High Flyer is ready.
High Flyer's always ready to go down.
Mike, check my come on, you got to be, baby. Come on now. I can't get no better than this. We talk about this. Playoff basketball at Delco. Outside, the doors are open. All the people are around. It can't get no better.
Yeah.
Spray threes tonight. Is that the key? Threes, baby.
Win.
Whatever it takes.
Hey, whatever. I don't care if you got to go out there and bite them on the ankle, Drake. Whatever you got to do.
Is this a Sabonis game for you? Does Sabonis got to show up? Is this the moment we've been waiting for?
You know what? Let me put this out there for everybody that's been riding my man Sabonis back about how he hasn't been showing up.
Yeah.
Let's keep it 100. Half of Sabonis' offense is sitting on the sideline in street clothes.
Yeah.
Malik Monk is, I'm telling you, is 45% of what he gets done. Mm. We haven't ran a high pick and roll since Malik Monk went out the game.
Yeah. I want to know what's the over-under tonight on Looney's minutes, because obviously he hasn't been playing a lot of late.
Hey,
Trayce Jackson-Davis
going to
play tonight?
Trayce Jackson-Davis struggles, especially. Yeah. They got Loon ready to go.
Loon is going to be ready. Davis is going to have a short leash.
Yeah.
Because there's no way they can let Sabonis get rolling and then say, okay, Looney, go get it. That's not going to happen.
And I will say this, though, fellas. When we did see Trayce Jackson-Davis, he actually, that first time, he did really well in his role against Domantas Sabonis. So much so that Warrior fans were talking trash.
Yeah.
They were thinking, you know, Trayce Jackson-Davis, a rookie, outplanned Domantas Sabonis. So I don't know if they view that as much of a mismatch as we do.
Oh, they'll learn.
Plus, it's his first time around in this experience. Yeah. So
I think so. You know what? I would definitely give more credit to Looney than anybody else. I mean, Loon went toe-for-toe with him for seven.
Yeah.
For seven. Not just one, but for seven. So I give him all the credit that he deserves. But you know what? I honestly think this Sacramento Kings team is looking at this game like, y'all got us, and you got us by the skin of your teeth. We understand you, Steph Curry. And I just saw De'Aaron Fox, and I talked to him. I know this dude, he had a look in his eye I ain't seen before in a while.
Really? Okay.
I know he wants to win this game. Think about it. If you can win this game and eliminate the Warriors, their last dance, eliminate them, they got you the year before. But you can eliminate them here tonight, that's a huge sign.
I think turnovers could be big tonight. Sure. We know the Warriors have a tendency, as great as they've been, they get a little sloppy with the ball.
They loosey-goosey with it.
And the Kings have been decent to good at forcing turnovers. It was a key to the game in January. I think possessions and turnovers are going to be big tonight.
I agree with you, but they've got to get points off those turnovers.
Yes,
because Phoenix had so many turnovers on Friday night. The Kings
didn't get enough
points off that.
You know what? I agree with you on that, Scooter. Phoenix turned the ball over big time.
18 times for the first three quarters.
And I'm sitting there like, we should be up by at least 15, but we couldn't capitalize on it. We couldn't score. You know, I want the sprays. I want the threes. But you can't live and die by that. If it's not going early on, give me some tools, brother.
I'm with you. Sprinkle
me some tools.
Too many times we've seen them live and die by that, and that frustrates me, man.
And that's been our problem in a nutshell the whole year.
Yeah.
When it's good, it's good. But when it's not there, how else are you going to get it done?
Yeah. That's a good question.
Kuminga is having a great year.
He is.
Yeah, is he a bad matchup? If Kuminga and Wiggins are healthy, is that a bad matchup up front for the Kings?
You know what? I like both of those players. I think Kuminga is really an up-and-coming all-star. I mean, the way that kid attacks the basket is like no other.
He's got some elite abilities, no question.
He's a matchup issue, Brad.
He's a throwback. But I'll tell you what, you know, I'm fine with putting Keegan Murray anywhere on the floor.
Okay.
Defensively.
Okay.
I really am.
So is Keon on Steph then? Start?
Most definitely.
Yeah. You're with that, Scott?
For sure. And I think you're going to see more Davion tonight on Steph because obviously going back to Game 7 last year, I think that's a lot of things that people were wondering about. I'm sure Mike Brown's thought about that for a year now.
Yeah, and let's be honest. Our on-ball defense is better now than it was the last time we saw these. We got a number of guys that we can throw. Like Mike's using Keon along with Davion. Can you imagine the havoc those two guys create out there? And so this is a different Kings team, even defensively.
You know what? My question to you, and you just brought that up.
Yeah.
He's using Davion. He's using Keon. Both of those guys are second-year players. The thing about it is this stage too big for them?
No. Because I'll tell you, we talked about this earlier. Davion went down to Golden State game 6 last year in the playoffs and went off. He had a very solid game down there in game 6.
And Keon, they pulled out of the, you're starting now, and that was not too big for him, you know.
And the way Keon is playing, it doesn't seem like any moment is too big for him. Like, you tell me, though, you're the former NBA.
No.
You're the player. What have you seen from Keon?
Oh, I love Keon. You know what? I love the way Keon has got it done. Keon, he grabbed his out the mud.
Yes.
When you're not drafted, you're a free agent, you got to go to the G League, the D League. Australia,
Puerto Rico.
Now that's pressure for him. Like, this isn't pressure. That's pressure.
Yeah. To be able to pull it up from there, I love that dude. I salute him 100%.
When it's all said and done, what's happening tonight, boys? Scott, when it's all said and done, what's going to be the outcome?
We are going to LA on Friday night. That's my prediction.
Wow.
The Kings are coming.
And that's not the homer take or anything. Like, are the Kings going to be here too?
Plans.
He got vacation with the family.
Yeah. Go to Disneyland. Right. Great.
We going to get it done, High Flyer. Is this the one we finally get over the hump against these guys?
I severely hope so. But, you know, it's two guys that worry me in this whole NBA. And we got to go through both of them.
Yeah.
There's three people that worry me, but they're not playing.
You know, I mean, it's two of them that worry me, and we got to go through both of them. You got to go through Steph Curry, and Steph Curry ain't no regular player. Okay, no. we all agree with you on that. And then if you got an engaged LeBron James,
that's gonna be tough.
It bothers me. I'm not saying it can't be done, but it worries me.
Yeah.
Now, of course, LA has got to lose to make that happen, which they are right now.
They were down
last time I saw them.
Yeah, they're down. You know the three people I'm talking about. Is that just, you know, Kings fan?
It's scar damage, of course. You know, that's what I was talking about, and that's why I think you're feeling the subdued, right? Because of last year, right?
Uh-huh.
You already have that. It's like when you've been in a relationship two or three different times. It's the scar damage, right?
That's not exactly
gonna try
what
that
it
again.
Is.
Wait, who are you worried about?
The officials.
Those three. Those three guys.
I can tell you that we do not have our crew. We don't have Dick Pivetta out there tonight.
These guys are good officials. These guys won't have an agenda.
No Bob Delaney.
No Bob Delaney.
No Scott Foster tonight. We'll be all right.
You didn't get fined there, big fella, did you?
No, I didn't get fined.
You didn't get fined. I might.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Tomorrow in studio.
Stick around for our game night. Scott Morris, the High Flyer. Next, right here from Tahoe Blue Ridge, right outside Goldman Center. We'll be getting the Warriors. I'll sack down.